Welcome to Starfield Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I've been SFB Online, Deadcom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just remind her to join me at TalkCast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444, just follow the directions, the call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web, just go to TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com. Search for quality 17702 and remember to bring your Chrome or Chromium-based browser. And of course, if you want to join us on twitch.tv, you can join us there. Just go to twitch.tv/SFUOnCall and you will join the live stream. Just a reminder that we start just a little bit later on Twitch. Usually we start around somewhere between 9:30 and 9:35. Inevitably, you know, the Twitch stream might start 9:35, 9:40. So please be patient. And of course, you need to contact me for any reason. My email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, you will reach me via Twitter. My account there is sfuoncall. Also, I have a personal account, which is Paul Franz. It's PLUFRNZ. I love talking about tech and being Catholic. So just a warning, if you're the ones you don't like, don't follow me. And of course, my tertiary account is Franz Games, where I announce things about happenings in Franz Games. And of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the web. Some quick news. Obviously, the X-Ships got posted up on Shapeways a couple weeks ago. And also Capsule number 47 has been available on Wires 23 and DriveThruRPG and Wargame Vault. And of course, Gene and Steve all have been kept quite busy. I've been keeping Steve called busy with doing some play by email FedCom cards so that I can actually add them to the client and add more Federation Commander ships to the library, which would be awesome. And hopefully I'll get some first ones I want to do is some Andromedans so I can add support for the Andromedans. On to the SFB Online tournament. We have currently the Sapphire Star tournament number 4 is started with yours truly flying the Andromedan crate, which is not going to be exactly the best ship in the world, but at the very least I want to fly just to fly it because I haven't flown it for a while. I'm going to be flying against Dave Zimbers, which should be having him basically wipe completely wipe me off the map. Moving on forward to the library report. Unfortunately, there's nothing to report when it comes to progress, but the complete conversions are 2,522. We get to be converted to 799 with percent complete still at 75.94%. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, yes, the one and only Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we have me, we have Barry, we have Dave, we have Barry's friend Seth. And we're here to talk about SFU Universe. And, Barry, how you doing?
Okay. So I guess you had said that we were going to be discussing the Federal Republic of Aurora tonight.
That is correct.
And they do not have a tournament cruiser.
I
went into...
Yes. No big surprise there.
Yeah. So, right. Well, it's a small empire.
Right.
So and I looked with a limited number of ships. So I looked in the SSB book, and I think the most fitting ship to use would be their battle cruiser.
Okay.
For a tournament cruiser, I can't think of anything else. The Dreadnought's too big. And their armored cruiser's too small.
Okay, what is it? And pocket battle station? That doesn't move, does it?
Tournament. Yeah, it doesn't move.
Darn. Looks about the right number. Okay.
Yeah, the battle cruiser. It looks like it's a just a beefed up Federation old light cruiser.
Yep. Well, actually, okay. It's considered a light cruiser for the modern age. But for the, I think, the middle years, it was considered a heavy cruiser.
Yeah, okay. So the Federation probably had some older heavy cruisers around.
Right, well.
And Aurora had one.
Right, that's one of the ones that got moved into the Aurora, yes.
Seth, just to give you a background on the Aurorans, it was a Federation colony world, and the whole starship system got transferred through a wormhole or something like that to halfway across the galaxy to the Omega Quadrant. So they got one star system, and it's like, oh, crap, now what do we do? Well, we better build ships for a navy to defend ourselves, because there's a lot of other empires around us that we've never heard of, and they might be hostile. It's like, well, what ships do we have available that got stuck through the wormhole with the whole star system? And it's like, okay, well, we can take those and upgrade them and upgrade them and do whatever we can, because our resources are limited. So it's a kind of a weird empire. And they also borrow technology from all the surrounding empires around them. Let me text Seth an image of the ship that I'm looking at, so he has an idea of what we're looking at.
So we can have at least a coherent idea of what's going on. Oh, boy. Whoa.
Yeah.
Dang, man. Okay.
You get that, Seth? Hello?
Seth still with us?
Yeah, he is. He is. So he got a copy of the battle cruiser.
Yep.
It's gone. All right. So I guess the question is, which particular, there's a couple of refits that are available for it.
Right.
What's
the TM refit?
And the question is, the TM refit replaces the short-range cannons with tachyon missiles.
Ah, okay. Whoa.
And do we really want to go down that rabbit hole?
You got a point on that one.
Yeah, I know. What's that? Because if you're going to go down that rabbit hole, I've created tachyon missiles for Mazarons, but...
Oh, understood. It's already a 150 BPV ship as it stands. You know,
what's that?
It's around 150 point ship as it stands. So
right. So we probably want to leave it with the SRCs.
Yes.
So it's got three standard photon torpedoes and two light photon torpedoes. And the light photons, let's see, do I have that?
Right, they do four piece.
Where did they go in the, hang on, I need to look in the rule book
and they
see what.
Yeah, I'm assuming that the cost like half what a normal photon would cost. But I assume it also, and since it's photon torpedoes, I would think then also it'd still stick with requiring warp.
Yes, all the rules for them are the same as a standard. A light takes one and one to arm, two and two for an overload, and well, for a full overload. And hold cost is normally a half a point for a light. But 1 point for an overload, for a fully overloaded one.
Which is 8 points of damage,
So
right?
basically a half, it's basically a half photon. The nice thing is that you have two smaller photons. So if you take a torp hit, you have padding. You didn't lose as much.
Right, and with the FRA, you can actually charge your regular photons as light photons, right?
Let me check. Let me check.
Because I'm pretty, I don't remember if I don't think that was
Altered scale photons,
right.
63.
Yeah, because I don't think with the normal photons, for the Federation, that you actually could do that. Well, I mean, meaning, you have standard, and that's the minimum. You can have
Oh,
variable overloaded,
no
but
downloads.
not variable
No,
standard.
no downloads. Photon torpedoes cannot be downloaded to smaller types.
Wow.
So no, you got to load a standard photon torpedo launcher as a standard photon.
Wow. Okay. I was hoping
Yeah.
that they at least have the ability to do that. Because, well,
Yeah. Yeah, and the
got quite a few batteries. Got seven of them.
let's see the light photon summary chart. Oh wait, yeah, light photons can be held for one half energy point per torpedo.
Which makes sense because that's half a normal photon torpedo.
Right. So it's got, unlike anything else in Omega, it's got standard alpha
Phasers.
phasers, phaser ones and phaser threes. And she's got, let's see, one, two, three, four, five,
But the overall,
six, seven, eight phaser ones with horrible arcs.
yes, that's exactly what I was going to point out.
And 4P3s with great arcs.
Four
So lots of
P3s.
phaser padding.
Oh, there's.
What's that?
Okay.
Three 360 degree arc phasers, yeah.
Then one, is that FA? FH?
What's that?
I
1FH phaser
assume,
three.
right. I was wondering about that because of the way that the SSD looks. It's kind of confusing.
Right. Now the SRCs, that's a, it's a half a point of power per shot, and you could burn 12 shots and 12 impulses and use it against any size class.
Wow. When you're up close, that can do quite a bit of damage. Meaning like
If
range
you
one.
hit, if you hit,
Yeah.
I
Ooh,
would,
Jesus. Dang
yeah.
it, man.
Yeah. Well, it's the same hit numbers as an ADD. And it fires just like an ADD, once per impulse. Unlike an ADD, it takes a half a point of power per shot, but it
Right.
can fire against things other than drones or shuttles.
Right.
I think it damages tachyon missiles as a size class 7.
That was the,
Which, tell you the truth,
yeah, that's drones, right? Yeah.
what's that?
Size class 7 is drones, drone class.
Right. But it doesn't, I mean, I'm not sure what the advantage is over an ADD for against, because it was, they said in the rules that it was designed for use against tachyon missiles, which, okay, that makes sense why you would want that. But ADDs damage tachyon missiles like shuttles, which is what, 1d6 of damage?
But at the same time, the one thing about the SRCs is that you don't run out. As long as you have power, you can fire. No.
No, they have ammo, just like an ABD.
Huh? Oh, okay, I see it.
Yeah.
That's weird. Then why the okay? I'm not sure why they have SRCs, not
Oh,
ADD.
you know what? But at shorter range, okay, an ADD just loses hit numbers at shorter range, whereas a short range cannon goes up in damage
Yeah. Oh,
at
yeah.
short. So,
And it's.
so at range one, an ADD will do 1d6 of damage if it hits, whereas a short range cannon will do 8 if it hits automatically. That's where it really. Okay, so at the shorter ranges, it gets more effective than an ADD.
Well,
Because 1d6 is averages what, 3.5 points of damage if it hits.
right.
Hit numbers are identical
Right,
for the
to an
SRC.
ADD, yes.
Yeah. And it wait, it damages. Firing arc, which ADDs do not. ADDs are 360.
Yeah, but you can understand though that the additional damage might be worth it.
Right.
And you have to expend the half point of energy at time of firing?
I believe
I cannot be
allocated or
allocated.
reserve power.
Okay, so it
Yeah,
can
but
be
it can't be
allocated.
held.
Okay.
Yes, it can be allocated.
But
Cannot be
so.
held if not fired. Any energy put into them as discharges does not result in the loss of any ammo.
Okay. That was one thing I was wondering about. Because if it
Yeah,
lost
so if you don't
ammo,
fire it, the
but when
energy
you
is discharged.
charged it, then
But you
you
don't
got a
lose any.
problem.
Yeah. Yeah, rate of fire can fire at most once per impulse. Fire as many times per turn as the player chooses, subject to power availability and ammo limits. Cannot use types. Okay, can't use dogfight drones or ADDs. Assuming that, wait, and now tachyon missiles are. Rule OG. No, it's OF.
Yeah, but I would think that definitely the ship would need the AWR refit.
Yes, for Photons, I would highly recommend that.
Yeah, to make it into a decent tournament cruiser, because definitely the normal Fed cruiser, tournament cruiser, has AWR refit. So it's
all right. How much power does this thing have? It has 28 warp, 4 impulse,
5. Oh, sorry, 4 impulse, 5
auxiliary,
5 AWR. Right.
Right. So it actually has 37 total power.
Right.
Might want to give it 2 extra warp.
Possible.
Just to bring it up to tournament standards so it can move at speed 31.
Is that the way all the Omegas are?
Yeah, all the Omega tournament cruisers were actually lower warp middle years or early years warp engines, and I, for tournament purposes, I upgraded them to tournament standards.
Okay.
Otherwise, they would have been severely. So yeah, that's.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see, tachyon missiles. Damaged by although they use many of the rules, tactical missiles are far larger than even the largest drone. But not as large. This has, doesn't get okay. So tachyon missiles are not penalized by heavy weapons fire. They're treated as shuttles when hit by anti-drones. So I would assume that they would size class 6.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that the SRC is actually less effective against the tachyon missile than an ADD. So that's, what the heck?
Agreed. That's goofy.
Unless you can see anything else that would suggest otherwise.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, so how many opponents is the FRA the Mazarons would have been somebody that the FRA would have had to fight historically on a lot. So why would they replace their ADDs with the SRCs, which take power, have a 180 firing arc instead of a 360 arc, and do less damage against their probably the primary weapon? The only advantage the SRC has would be against other opponents that don't have tachyon missiles. They can actually fire them at ships.
Mm-hmm.
Or basically 1-to-1, so it's like an opportunity. Oh, there's a down shield facing me. I've got 4 battery. Just start pumping energy through that thing, and well, maybe I'll take a hit here and a hit there. It's a great MESA weapon.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. But it's
probably the ultimate MESA weapon, but but I just don't see it.
Right.
Really being that useful.
even though according to the Omega rules, they're saying that they're designed for going against Tekkion missiles.
Well, yeah, because the FRA was adjacent to the Mazarons. In fact, I think their small star system was completely surrounded by the Mazarons. And the Mazarons were the biggest tachyon missile users in the galaxy. So, yeah, they would want to have something that would be effective against tachyon missiles, but I'm just not seeing the SRC being it. Now, interestingly enough, a dogfight drone. What's a Type 9 drone? I know what a Type 6 is, but I don't know what a 9 is.
Me neither.
But OFD 1.331 says a Type 6 or a Type 9 drone targeted on a missile does 8 points of damage to it. I've never heard of a Type 9 drone.
Me neither.
Wow. Where did that come from? I've read these rules how many times? I've never seen that before. I'm glad to know that somebody else doesn't know what a Type 9 drone is.
Yeah, that's just goofy.
Yeah. I'm suspecting that's a typo of some kind. Maybe Type 6 or an ADD target on a missile does 8 points of damage to it. That might make more sense.
Agreed.
So let's say that rule meant an ADD. Is that what a Type 9 drone is, an ADD?
No, and an ad round is an ad round. It's not a drone.
I know. Maybe, but that would make sense. If he says that ADD does 8 points of damage to it, then all of a sudden the SRC makes a lot of sense. Although that means that it would do. Here's the thing that bothers me, that an SRC would do less damage to a regular drone than a tachyon missile. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, onward and forward.
Yeah. Oh, wait, no, here it is. Tachyon missiles are treated as shuttles when hit by anti-drones. That's OFD
Oh,
1.3.
okay.
So, yeah, okay. Which is size class 6. So, okay, so, okay, are treated as shuttles. Oh, wait. No. Okay, so a shuttle, and shuttles, when ADDs hit shuttles, they do 1d6 damage. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so average, yeah, okay. So,
Ah, there it is.
but it doesn't say what happens.
Yeah, we can hear you now, Gary.
Yeah, you're the FRA guy.
Yeah, I've been trying to. I've been having some issues. The that number, I don't know, a few weeks ago, I was telling you that there's meant to be a number for TalkShoe in Canada and in other countries to try and call in. So the first seven or eight times, it didn't pick up, and then I tried to call in when it did get through. I entered in the PIN and the code ID number for the shop, the store, the show. They basically had me muted, but I was trying to do *2 to try and get your attention, but there was no response. And so I signed out, I hung up and called in again, and then I just tried logging on the computer, and it seems that, you know, this last time, I guess you've seen me now, so...
Well, you're not the only one who is having trouble logging in tonight.
Okay. But, I don't know. I heard a little bit about you talking about the FRA Battlecruiser, but I don't know if you had a chance to go over them as an empire in more detail as well, or if you were just looking at it from a tournament perspective.
We're looking at it from a tournament cruiser's perspective. But we were having some questions about the short-range cannon versus Tachyon missiles.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the TMs are still size class 7. They just they only count as a shuttle for that specific interaction with ADDs, which motivated the FRA to develop a short-range cannon so they could shoot down TMs more effectively. But
okay, so if it is size class 7, then yes, it would be slightly more effective against a Tachyon missile at range 3, which is where you really want to fire, I guess. Well, I guess it doesn't matter. At range 2, the hit number goes down, but the damage goes up.
Yeah, it goes up
a
to
lot.
6.
And at range, right. So basically, and okay, but if you've got a Tachyon missile coming in and you got 12 rounds of ammo, you're probably going to just fire every impulse until you take the damn thing down. So you start firing at range 3.
Well, one thing to bear in mind is that for the early generation of FRA ships, the only ones that had the short-range cannon were their escort ships. And also, I should note that for anyone who was in the Drex, Limited Aegis didn't come available until Y-194. So, and there's no sign of full Aegis on Omega either. So, but a few years after the Lyran ship shows up in the Y-170s, those short-range cannons get replaced with ESGs. But for the Battlecruiser is the first line ship. It's the first cruiser, I should say, that has SRC as a standard. But if it would make more sense to swap them for Tachyon missiles, then that might be wise, like from a German perspective anyway.
Okay. Well, I think Paul was looking at it going, it's already a bit of heavy on the BPV, although to tell you the truth, let's see, it probably has to delete a tractor. It's got 4 transporters.
Right.
Oh, we're gonna have to delete 2 batteries to bring her down to 5.
Barry, that's one thing.
Well,
that,
the other thing as well is,
When it comes to tournament, I'd say first just try it out as it is and see how it goes and adjust accordingly. You know, other than obviously
warp. Yeah, but tournament standards are 5 batteries for a movement cost 1.
Yeah,
all tournament cruisers.
Yeah, but at the same time, the SRCs are useless without power.
Are you planning to leave the shields as they are or to boost them up?
Yeah, that was one thing I also noticed.
You boost them up then.
The shields are awful.
30 on the front.
30 on the number 1. There's 24 on number 6 and 2, and they're 20s in the back.
Yeah. I typically put standard tournament shields on most ships.
I don't think it captures a lot of the character for some of the Omega ships. And also, in this particular ship, because it's got
7
armor, the shields are specifically, they're weaker. It's like with the Trobriand. Usually their shields aren't that great, but they've got the battery and the armor to back them up or whatever.
Right.
So I don't know whether it would be, it might move it too much far away from the ship as it is now to up the shields. So that might explain why the batteries are different. But one other thing I wanted to mention is, whether or not this ship, as well as the Zosmas or Velasco, should get use of any of their shuttle bombs. Because historically speaking, the FRA they've got a thing where basically it's like a half size, well, it starts off half size, but the FRA eventually developed a third size one, which is like a dedicated suicide shuttle. And the reason why you see the battlecruiser with spare shuttle boxes on either side is because they would usually put pairs or triplets of shuttle bombs in those. Now, the Belasco, they purchased their shuttle bombs directly from the FRA, so they would get the same miniaturization technology about a year or two after the FRA do. Mm-hmm. But the Zosmans, right, they stole the technology, so they can put two shuttle bombs into a single shuttle box, but they can't do the three per box that the FRA and Belasco do later on. So I was just curious as to whether or not it'd be as well to ignore the shuttle bomb entirely for the purposes of a tournament, or find some way to introduce them.
I think that leaving it with five shuttle boxes with a pair of shuttle bombs on the both sides would make sense. But at that point, I would think that we probably, and that's basically a suicide shuttle that and you can only, correct me if I'm wrong, you can only load one shuttle bomb per box at a time.
I think it was always, the minimum was two shuttle bombs per box. There's rules in here.
Right. But only one, how many can you arm in a single box at the same time?
Oh, that, yeah, sorry. I'm just actually, because I've got the PDF of the Omega Master rulebook up, so I'm trying to skip ahead to the shuttle bomb there.
No, I'm doing the same thing.
But I guess the handy thing as well is that if you're using the shuttle bombs with the Zosmans, you won't have to worry about the stealth field, because, of course, any shuttle that's set to suicide can't stealth, which would be a bit awkward, I guess. So let me see now. Shuttle bomb coins. Oh, yeah, and they require only two turns to arm rather than three turns. And that he had strength of magnetic bottle is increased in Y175. Y188 is increased again.
Yeah, three shuttles, plus single admin. Shuttle bombs are much like suicide shuttles, because the power and time requirements are reduced. Oh. But two turns, three turns. Anywhere from 0.5 to 2 points of warp energy each turn, warhead strength is equal to 4 times the amount of total warp energy used. Okay.
That's wow.
So,
the extra boom.
Okay, so it's a total of 4 points of warp energy, so 16-point warhead, which is less than a standard suicide shuttle, which is an 18-point warhead.
Well, bear in mind, that's before the Y-175 refit, because when you do that, the standard warhead can go up to 20, and after Y-188, it can go up to 24. And you can actually take one booster pack from them as well. But also bear in mind that, of course, if you got to 2 turns instead of 3 turns, if you got like an FRA ship that's got like 4 shuttle bombs and 3 regular shuttles, then you're using those 4 shuttles over 8 turns, as opposed to using however many suicide shuttles over 9 or 10 turns, or 12 or whatever it is. It does also say that each shuttle bomb counts as a single special shuttle for purposes of weapons arm status. So weapons are 3, ship can have at most 2 of them armed and held at the start of the scenario.
Right. So even though it occupies only a half or a third, depending on the year of a shuttle box, each bunch of a shuttle bomb still counts as a full launch.
Well, one other thing I wanted to mention as well while we're looking at that is for the purposes of Federation Commander, I tried to account for things like checking missiles and short-range cannons and so forth. But one thing I did was I basically defaulted all of the ship-based PM racks down to type A's, the ones that have 3 missiles instead of 5. So in principle,
you want to
if
use
there was ever...
Tachyon. Why would you use A racks rather than B racks?
Well, the A racks are the most common ones, and FC generally it's wary of introducing larger size racks. So what I was basically thinking is that,
like,
for example, like an FRA battlecruiser, an FC, if it had the Tachyon missiles, it would probably only have the ARAC. So it would actually not cost any more than the regular BC, because if you look at the cost charts for the different TMs, a TMA costs the same amount as a short-range cannon, but the TMB costs two additional points, or one additional point, rather. Yeah, so that's why the TM reset is plus four on in Starfleet battles. But in principle, if that was an issue either in the tournament for SFB or in Federation Commander, you could lower those racks down to A racks and fly the ship that way.
Okay, so I'm going to make an assumption. It doesn't really say it, that you can't have two shuttle bombs arming in the same shuttle bay at the same time.
If so, that would explain why the ship adds the shuttles in their own little separate bays rather than making the standard bay bigger.
Right.
Because it's basically kind of game the system.
Right. So, yeah, if we did a tournament cruiser, we could call the left and right bay shuttle bombs. But then we would have to say, do we have two or do we have three bombs per box? And what size were they?
I would just do two.
Max? Just two per?
I would recommend same for the Blast ones, Oz ones too, just to keep everything as simple as possible.
Okay, but do we want to give it the U-175 strength?
I think maybe the safest thing would be to go up rather than down. Because this is a relatively distinct system. So it might be as well to basically start with the lowest setting and then kind of click it up a bit if it needs a bit more, rather than clicking it up too much and then have it be a game breaker.
That makes sense. And to tell you the truth, that gives you a lot of wiggle room to adjust the stats of that ship to make it... just right size for tournament. You can upgrade the shuttle bombs. Wow, that gives you a lot of flexibility.
Mm-hmm. Well, by the way, speaking of FRA ships and shuttle bombs and stuff, I think I mentioned in a previous recording that Captain's Log 53 includes four Klingon and one Lyran SSD.
Right.
They represent the ships that showed up with disruptors and ESGs and so forth. And the Klingon D7 is actually quite interesting. By itself, it's 137 points, and it has the drones in the deckhouse are replaced with shuttle bays, so you can use shuttle bombs in them. And the disruptors are replaced with photon torpedoes, and all the phasers are up to phaser one, and the ADD is replaced either with an SRC or the Tachyon missile rack. So, in principle, if you could do like a variant FRA ship that was based on the D7, if somebody wants to have to fly a Klingon ship with photon.
Agreed. I should have scanned those in.
That would be interesting. So that would be just like the Romulans, which have three tournament cruisers. How come the Feds only have one and the Roms have three? Nobody knows.
Well, at the same time,
Feds should have.
You know, the Tholians, that bit race, that tiny little bit race, they have two tournament cruisers. The Romulans, not necessarily a major power, have three. The Klingons, the Feds, only have one each.
At the same time, when it comes to the Romulans, they had three different kinds of ships. They had the KRs, which are from the Klingons.
That.
You've got the new ones, which were totally redesigned, which is represented by the Firehawk. And then you have the old Romulan ships, which is represented by the King Eagle.
By the King Eagle. Right.
But what you could do is, for the Feds, you could use the old heavy cruiser. That's kind of like a half step from an FRA into the stuff anyway. And you could also maybe use the new heavy cruiser. So if you want to have three generations of Fed ships, then there they are. And similarly, the Klingons, maybe they could have a tournament version of the D5W. Is that what it's called? The new heavy cruiser?
The D5W was a killer kick ass, yeah. What was
the
W?
So it depends on like... like,
you know, the extended disruptor arc. Didn't the D5W have extended disruptor arcs?
Yeah, probably, because I know the D5 definitely did. It was like front half left and front half right.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, the D5 is a brutal ship. Just by itself.
And then, well, the W was a brutal ship. I think they doubled a lot of the phaser banks, didn't they?
That I don't remember.
Does anybody have an SSD for the D5W?
Is there not one on the SFB Online?
Yeah.
Well, there you go, Paul. Pull it up. Thought it had like four phaser ones in the nose. Just going by memory. And I think the wing phasers were doubled. I haven't looked at that ship in like 15, 20 years. And it had like, I think, 280Ds and 2B racks.
New heavy
like
cruiser.
The D5W?
Yeah, it's got an interesting... Wow, that's an interesting array. But you got two, front extended phaser ones. You got one wing phaser one. Well, two wing phaser ones. And then you have...
Okay, so the wing phaser ones are doubled or not?
Yeah, you have two. Two on each wing.
On each side?
On each side, yes.
Okay. But only two of the FX phaser ones in the front? Mm-hmm.
Then you have,
And the waist?
With the waist, are waist got normal phaser two and phaser threes.
Phaser twos in the waist?
Mm-hmm.
Because the standard D5, I think they reduced the P2s in the waist to P3s.
Right.
But the D5W, they're back up to P2s?
Yeah, I just want to double check this. Boop. 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 Yeah, on the standard D5, they're phaser threes.
Yeah.
And then they're phaser twos in the wings too.
In the W variant.
Well, no, with the W variant, the phaser twos get swapped up to phaser ones when it comes to the wings.
Right.
And then the waist, the W upgrades one of the phaser threes on each side from the comes to the waist to a phaser two from a phaser three.
Oh, just one each in the waist is upgraded to twos.
Mm-hmm.
And was it 2B racks and 280Ds?
Right.
Yeah. What's the PTV on that one?
Off the top of my head, I do not know, and I don't have my books with me. Let me just check it. I'm not sure if it's part of the info or not. Yeah. BPV is not.
One thing that is bear in mind, though, is that by the time the D5W was showing up, the D7 itself, some of them at least, are being upped to the D7W heavy command cruiser. So. They're
right.
A little bit more capable than the regular.
Right, and that was just before they came out with the DXs and stuff like that.
Yeah, there actually is an X technology version of the D5W in Module X1R, but it's not as powerful as the DX itself.
Right.
Like it doesn't get the six disruptors for comparison.
Right.
And, that breaks my heart.
Another thing about the D5W, it's got center warp. It's got eight boxes of center warp.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. So the total power is what? 24, 32, 33, 37, 39. For two-thirds moving cost ship.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a hot rod.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Talk about
Duncan, we're going too fast. Arms and disruptors, that'll slow us down. not enough.
Did they upgrade the shields at all? No. They didn't upgrade the shields at all.
We don't need no stinking shields. But any case, yeah. Oh, wow. The FRA, yeah, the old light cruiser. And you want, and then you said the FRA got a D7 from,
yep.
How did that get in there? Just the wormhole sucked up a D7?
Yeah.
Or something?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what it is there's a thing in called the Cosmic Nexus in the Omega X that the FRA ends up in. Supposedly, it's two black holes that are kind of like caught together and they're ripping the fabric of space. So sometimes if there's a...
Uh-oh. Lost... we lost... Oh, nope. Lost me. Crap.
Welcome to TalkShoe. Please enter the show ID followed by the pound key. Welcome to TalkShoe. Please enter the show ID followed by the pound key. You can ask... Enter your PIN followed by the pound key. If you are not a TalkShoe member, enter... TalkShoe Live. This episode is being recorded and streamed live on TalkShoe.com. Please press 1 to accept and enter the online studio. You are joining the online studio. You are unmuted and can speak with the host. Recording started.
They actually dismantled it, so they used the boom, a modified version of the boom, together with the engines, and then they took a stretched version of the secondary hull of the police cutter, or a federal frigate, to create their destroyer. So if you ever look at the SSD for the FRA destroyer, it's kind of like a Frankenship, whatever, but it's actually quite effective, though. And then when the Laren ship showed up, that ship was modified to FRA technology. It's in Captain's Log 53 as well. And the ESGs were reverse engineered so that they could use them on escorts only. So you won't be sticking ESGs on the battlecruiser, sadly. But if you are in a historical squadron or fleet battle and you're trying to go up against an enemy carrier or soldier ship or something like that, then they come in quite handy then. So, and the Orion ship as well, it gets a few modifiers as well. So like... it starts off with two photons in the wings and a phaser one in the front. And then the phaser one gets swapped out with the disruptor.
So what are the tactical implications of using an ESG against a soldier?
Well, I guess it's just handy to try to... I mean, once the black shard is locked onto your ship, it's too late. But I guess just to try to damage the shards before they get close, I suppose. Because... the soldier have a strong casual carrier, you know, because they've got all those vampire shirts that they want to try to, you know,
yeah,
lock onto you with. So, I actually think the FRA is pretty interesting because you don't have to be just cooped up in your own little hex either, because later in the timeline, they sign a treaty where they're helping to patrol Mishram space in exchange for protection by the Mishrams. So that's the reason why they built the destroyer in the first place, because they found that the cruisers were too valuable to stand on patrol and the frigates were too small. So the destroyer is a good size of ship to be able to send it across what remained of Nice front space anyway and expect for it to come back again. So, and even actually in the seventh cycle, like after the Andromeda and Soldier are gone, the FRA actually comes to the point where they actually join the Alliance, but they have a special deal where they get to keep building their own ships and they have complete autonomy. So it's kind of almost like the Orion deal in the Federation. The FRA gets a deal where it's basically kind of like, it's still in the Alliance, but it's like a step apart.
Right.
So.
Interesting.
But yeah, like when it comes to interesting toys, then you should see their Dreadnought, because it's on a prowl that it's got four standard torpedoes and two heavy torpedoes.
I saw that. Yeah, the heavy photons.
So if you feel like punching a hole inside an Andromedan Dominator, then that might help you.
Well, the heavy photons.
What don't you like about the heavy photons?
What's that?
What don't you like about the heavy photons?
They're 50% more powerful than a standard photon. But the problem with the heavy photon is it's less damage soak. In other words, if I take a torpedo hit and I lose a heavy photon, let's say I had two heavy photons do the same damage as three standards. The three standards, it takes three damage points to take them all out, whereas the two heavy photons, it only takes two damage points to take them all out. Of course, by the time you're losing the heavy photons on a dreadnought, you've had a lot of other photons that acted as padding.
And plus the dreadnought's got a lot of armor and shield to get through to that before it reach that point as well. So,
I'm looking at it now, it's like beast of a ship.
Well, you just said a Dominator, and it, I don't think it'll take down one of those.
Nope, it won't take it down a Dominator. I agree there.
Even if the Dominator doesn't have its satellites. What's that?
Intruder, yes. Dominator, no.
Yeah, an Intruder, yeah. Yeah, it'll take an Intruder, but not a Dominator. Well, although an Intruder with its satellite ships might give it some trouble.
Oh, agreed.
Well, that's what the rest of the Auroran fleet's for.
The Dreadnought's satellite ships, eh?
But, the only thing is that even though the Dreadnought has, it's got four SRCs, which you could replace with four TNB racks, but it doesn't have double seeking weapon control. So you'd need a sister ship to assume control of one of the missiles. To be able to get your full complement launched at a time.
Especially since the Tachyon missiles take two channels per missile. Although, you said four Tachyon missile launchers?
I'm sorry, four.
Yeah, but it can only launch two per turn.
Three.
Are there TMBs or TMCs or?
Oh no! Then like each rack can still only launch each pair of racks can only launch one per turn. So you're right. No, I am. I didn't confuse them. Yeah, you're right. It's two per turn. Forget I said anything.
Yeah. Yeah. So
like I said, you basically launch at the end of one turn and then launch the next ones in the subsequent turn. You can have four on the table, but.
You can only control three of them. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Unless you got one with don't they have an ATG option?
Yeah,
I mean, it's kind of expensive.
Well, for the shuttle bombs,
pay for that separately.
Yeah, that would be a ship that would probably want to buy some ATG Tachyon missiles. ATG modules for their Tachyon missile.
Oh,
or operate the fleet, which is where a Dreadnought belongs.
All right, I agree. Just whole idea of a major capital ship flying around without supporting ships is just kind of nuts.
Yeah.
Unless you're like a crazy Yordani noble or something, and you're like, I'll take this battleship by myself. Don't worry about me.
Understood.
But, actually, it would be nice to see a proper battleship module sometime, because we know what the Yordani battleship looks like. But and in theory, there's a Mistron battleship instead of Shadows, which is, I think it was overcooked. I mean, Bruce himself created it, so I don't know if I should say that, but I think it's like a bit overboard in terms of size. But I do think that it would be interesting to see, because, I mean, some of the Empires, it would be pretty easy to do the battleship. Like the Prober, you just stick four hulls together with like a super-sized wing, set of wings. And with the FRA, you can imagine the ship like a third as wide with four engines and maybe a couple more heavy photons or something. But some of the other ones could be interesting, like in terms of trying to work it out. Like, for example, the L'Oreal, maybe their battleship would only have a move cost of 1.75 rather than 2, because their dreadnoughts only move cost 1.25 anyway. Or the Hypers, their battleship might actually only have move cost 1.25. Like, it might be basically like a warping cruiser. So it would still be good for them, but it wouldn't necessarily be up on the same level as the other Empire's battleships.
Right.
Well, I have an early morning wake up tomorrow.
No problem.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Barry, then I'll let you go, and you have a good night.
Okay. Good night.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Have a good night.
Just to end this thing on even a happier note, obviously, we haven't had a talk show for the past 2 weeks because of Easter and all, which was an interesting Easter, to say the very least. But one thing I did do is I did communicate with Mr. Steve Cole, and that was about Federation Commander. And I've realized, okay, if I'm going to add support for the Andromedans, I need ship cards. So he sent me some ship cards, and actually he's been sending me ship cards ever since. So I'm getting the FedCom images, you know, full. I have a lot of work on my hands in the future, but I have worked on the Federation Commander portion of the online client to add support for the PA panels, because they work obviously a bit differently in FedCom than they do in SFB.
Just remember the disruptor thing, because if you're ordinarily, I think it's only one burn through from the 10th point. The 10th point is a burn through.
Right.
But if the volley includes either disruptor cannon from the Carnivons or disruptor bolts, then it's every 10th that slips through.
Right. I saw that. To me, there's so much, when it comes to the Andromedas, there's so much loss when it comes to the PA panels. Though I must admit, there is one interesting fact about the FedCom and how they handle PA panels. And that is that if you do not have like your rear panels on, like at the beginning of the turn, you do not have to pay for them. You only have to pay for the ones up front or in the back, whatever. Which to me is an interesting idea.
Well, bear in mind that because in FC, there's not really any such thing as housekeeping. Like, you don't usually have to pay for things like life support and running your shields and so forth if you're a non-Andromedan.
Right.
So I guess the fact that they have to do that kind of housekeeping, whatever, is, I guess, distinct to them. But, there are a few other things, because they try to have it in ways that you can't burn off your power too quickly. So, for example, in FC, most empires, they pay double to fly backwards, And the Andromedans don't have that because then everyone would be flying their ships backwards so they can burn off all the power from the bus. Basically, they're the one empire that aren't allowed to do that, though.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. I mean, I think the... I'd be curious to see because there has been talk about like borders of madness things. Like there's X-ships. There's a number of X-ship rules in Captain's Log 53. I would recommend having a look at them sometime. And there's a number of playtest ship cards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's actually one thing.
There's also...
That reminds me. That's one thing I was going to broach the subject after we get through the him sending me the rest of the ships. Is that see if it would be okay to create play-by-email versions of the Omega ship so that possibly we can get some more people involved in playtesting the Omega rules. Oh, boy. And I just lost Gary. Because I think that'd be nice to actually be able to... Because that was one of the things that I liked at the beginning of the SFB Online is that the ability to actually have people play test ships online. Because actually the Ken Burnside did that with his LMC ships. I had to actually add some support into the rules for that and all, but it worked out quite well. Of course, there's one thing that I still remember playing the one, it was like, well, it's not really double blind, then that's the tough part, is that I was facing an unknown opponent. Come to find out, okay, what was it? I think it was, one of the crazy things was like, the missile hits at range 2, I found that out the first time, the first attack he did. And I forgot about it the first and second time it came around. And then I forget if it had the goofy shields or not on that one. But no, I knew how the shields worked, but still had the weapons, which I didn't know how they worked. So... Okay, with that, I'm going to wrap this up. I just wanted to show off a nice little Andromeda Conquistador here on the video so that people can see it and what it looks like in FedCom. And I'm hoping to add that. Yeah. Gary, when it comes to the FedCom Online, I really would like to be able to use it for playtesting rules. Possibly some of the Borders of Madness stuff too. Now, obviously, the thing is, I have to get approval from Steve Colt. But I'm not going to broach the subject for the Omegas until we get done the rest, because I don't want... I would love to play test as Osman in SBLL, and I think we can probably do that. I'd have to double check on that, but I'd have to get like the background images from Steve Cole, and the way he uses for the background images that he sends us for the third generation definitions are basically the FedCom, but they're made black and white instead of color. So, then you obviously removing of the boxes. So with that, wrap it up. Got a chance to talk about the FRA. Got the chance to talk about Federation Commander. Yeah, agreed, Gary. There's not much when it comes to the Zosman art, and hopefully. Well, hopefully we'll be able to do that. I have to still broach the subject with Steve Cole. And we will hopefully be able to do something like that. At least, some play tests. One ship here, one ship there kind of things for maybe the Zosman, possibly for the FedCom. Have a couple ships you know, one for each empire. Almost said the R word. And have it so that people can actually playtest it online. You know, so hopefully maybe we can get the more playtest reports in for those ships. So I think with that, we'll wrap it up for this evening. Had a lovely evening with everyone involved. And with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.